weather, traffic, politics with Brad and Dan. This is the Brad and Dan Show on the Talk of Connecticut.
6:52, 8 minutes before 7 o'clock. State Controller Kevin Limbo. We got him up early this morning. Oh, he gets up. I'm only kidding. He gets up early. And I'll tell you, we've been talking, Dan, the both of us, that you are preparing to issue a request for proposal that you believe will save Connecticut tens of millions of dollars in retiree health costs. How about that?
Hey, it's always a good thing.
Yeah. How are you going to do this, Kevin? Good question.
For the first time, we'll be taking advantage of the federal Medicare Advantage design. You'll both remember a number of years ago, I led an effort to, for the first time, maximize Medicare reimbursement for pharmaceuticals for our retiree population. Up to then, Medicare, frankly, wasn't paying their fair share. They are really the first payer when it comes to our retirees who have Medicare. So that was a successful, though sometimes bumpy, transition. Now it's time to look at the entire health plan, and we have the potential to save tens of millions of dollars. So it's certainly worth exploring. Need to see what the RFPs look like when they come back, and then a negotiation will take place. And if all goes well, the taxpayers will benefit, and the retirees will benefit because they'll have a more comprehensive, coordinated health care plan.
You think you can get that through?
I think we can. There is indication both from the management and labor side that they are open to this idea. They've been part of the process, and I have to give them both credit. They really have stood up, taken a look at this, agreed that the data works not only in forwarding the health outcomes, but in saving us money as well. So, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, as they say.
So let's presume this works out, Kevin. How soon could we start realizing these savings?
Dan, it's probably, you know, it will probably be a couple of months for the RFPs to come back, then to be reviewed, then a contract to be executed. You know how that all goes.
Right.
Takes an extraordinary amount of time, weeks instead of days. But then once the contract is signed, there's probably, you know, 9 months or so to transition folks. So there won't be any impact in next fiscal year, but my hope would be in the following fiscal year that this transition would take place.
How much will somebody save?
Well, the individuals won't save anything. It's really savings to the state, Brad, because, you know, when our retirees go out, they certainly have their co-pays and their co-insurance and all of that. But there isn't going to be a change in premium to them. It's just how much the state would have to pay to manage this population.
Now, we're hearing, Kevin, that there could be massive budget cuts by the Trump administration. Might this affect your particular area here?
I doubt very much that a Trump administration would go after Medicare or Medicare Advantage. This is a large constituency, a constituency that may have, in fact, voted for him. And people get very upset at the idea of an elderly person, for example, or a disabled person losing access to their health care benefit. So I doubt that that will happen. What it will do, Dan, is give us room in the budget. So when we save that money here, the other stressors that exist in the budget will have a little bit more breathing room.
Say, is there really 49,000 Medicaid-eligible retirees and dependents that are covered?
That's right, Medicare-eligible. So for the first time, I think it was late last year, we saw a one-to-one ratio between our active employees and our retirees. That is for a number of reasons. One is our retirees are living longer, as is our general population. And we are not growing the active workforce because of all of the freezes in hiring and the layoffs and retirements that have occurred. So we're one-to-one at this point. In most situations, that would be a significant problem if you were trying to balance all of this together. The good news is they sit in different accounts and are funded differently. So we need to really do our best to be as responsible and efficient as we can in offering this benefit.
So the time frame, what again would you say the time frame, if, you know, giving you plenty of latitude, what would you say?
Right, so you won't hold me to it, right?
You got that right.
the wheels of government sometimes move slowly. So I would say by next fiscal year. So not the fiscal year that begins this July, but I'm looking at the following fiscal year. But, you know, the Connecticut government hasn't demonstrated an ability or a willingness over the last couple of decades to think a decade or two into the future. We really need to do more of that. This is one piece of it.
Now, Kevin, while we have you here, as you know, the Attorney General got that one-time settlement, so it looks as if the budget might be in balance. At least that's what we're hearing from your perspective, because you analyze these numbers. What does it look like for the current fiscal year?
So on January 1st, I reported a $56.2 million budget deficit for this fiscal year. And you're right, Dan, a lot has happened since then, including additional tick up in the corporate tax, some other tax categories that were performing better than expected. But really, the Attorney General's settlement with Moody's at $31.5 million will also help. So at this point, the administration maintains that that wipes out the deficit completely. I'll put my next number out February 1st. It's possible that they may be right, but we're working and crunching those numbers right now.
Wow. Yeah. So that's a possibility.
Yes, I mean, it's always better to, well, it's always best to end with a surplus, right? But next best thing is always to end in balance.
And of course, we still have a few months to go, but at least it would, the forecast would be perhaps in balance, and you'll know again on February 1st. And people might not know this, Kevin, but by law, you have to issue the report each month, right?
That's right. And then when the budget falls more than 1% out of balance, the governor is required to convene the legislature for purposes of bringing the budget back into balance.
So then, you know, in the end, keeping the positive side of things, we could do much better than we think we're going to do.
Well, I would be, we have to be really careful. It's also a pattern in Connecticut that we get irrationally enthusiastic when things start to turn around. We start to build budgets bigger. We start to make promises that we may not be able to keep. So as long as things continue to point in the right direction, which generally speaking they are right now, we need to nurture. It's like that little shoot that sort of pops up out of the ground. You don't start looking for fruit on it immediately. You got to give it some tender, loving care, and that's exactly what our economy needs.
State Controller Kevin Limbaugh, I got to tell you something, Kevin. You, since you've been doing what you're doing, have really changed things around, and I just think somebody in our business should tell you that. You're not going to hear it from everybody, but you have. You have changed a good many things around, and that's a positive thing for the state. Thanks for being with the two of us here this morning.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Dan. Have a great day.